Amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. Hey, did you come hungry for the Word of God here today? Yes. Amen. You know, how many of you know it's not just, you know, sitting in church that's going to do anything for you? How many of you know that you got to bring a measure in how you hear? You know, we talked about this last week, you know, we talked about this past Wednesday night, and we mentioned Mark 4:24 that Jesus said, you know, take heed by what measure, what things that you hear, for what measure you meet will be measured back to you again. You know, he didn't just say the fact that, you know, words are entering into your eardrums won't make any difference, but the measure you meet it will be measured back to you. Amen. You know, and so I'm sure we're all familiar with measuring cups. You know, they have the big measuring cups all the way down to those little bitty little spoon things in there. You know, well, what measure did you bring with you here today? You know, Jesus said, when you hear, do you hear with an urgency? Do you hear with an attentive, you know, nature that you're just, you know, every word is important? And I'm not just, you know, looking for a cheerleading section for myself by any means. I know that when you respond, when you get involved in the Word, you're bringing a greater measure. And God is going to take that measuring cup out of your hand, and He's going to scoop it back and give back out of you. You know, and so if you just sit there and say, okay, I'm just going to bide my time until, you know, right around when we usually dismiss, well, you're going to miss it because that's not a measure at all. But when you get involved and you get responsive and you hear, you know, the Bible tells us over there in 2 Corinthians 1:20 that the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. You know, when you hear something that's true, when you hear something that God has promised you, you know, you respond to that. We're not just trying to have a loud vocal church. We're trying to have a church that brings a good measure. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, good morning, everybody. Glory to God. We just are so excited to have new faces with us all the time. Again, want to welcome those that are visiting Family Church today. For those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. Pastor Brad Hofer is our associate pastor. We're just so glad to have new family with us all the time. We know that God's got a good plan for your life. He tells us over there, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. You know, so many times, even Christians, they get this idea that God is trying to hurt people. You know, that, oh dear, let's not get on that topic right now. You know, but that God's orchestrating harm and hurt and things like that. Well, they haven't studied His Word. They haven't studied the fact that we're living in the age of grace and the age of God's goodness. Amen. Jesus said, I have not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Amen. So God has a good plan. It doesn't mean that Jesus said, on this earth you'll have trials and tribulation. You know, He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so God has always got a plan. Amen. But the question we need to ask ourselves, are we sold out to His plan? Amen. Where Jesus said, and Pastor Brad quoted it, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first. You know, whatever you put first, that's what you're going to draw from. You know what I mean? If the hobbies, if the weather, if the picnic or whatever is first, well, then that's all you have to draw on. But when God is first, that's what you have to draw on. Amen. Glory to God. Well, turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 11. This morning, we're going to call this message, How Real is God to You? How real is God to you? And today we're going to diagnose our eternal mindset. How mindful are you of God's eternal realm? How mindful are you of God's presence? How mindful are you that that realm is more real than this one? You know, because how many of you know everything that we see came out of God's realm? No, we can't see God sitting on the throne with our physical eyes right now. We can't see, you know, the golden streets of heaven. We can't see, you know, angels in that realm at this moment and things like that. But how many of you know, just because you can't see it doesn't make it any less real? Amen. Glory to God. You can't see Japan right now. Many of you have never been to China. Maybe some of you have, but I would dare say the majority of us have not. But some book told you it was there, the internet told you it was there, the map told you it was there, and you believe it's there. Amen. Well, I'll tell you, in the same way, God's realm created this one. And it's more real than this realm. How do we know? Because that realm will last forever. This one, as we know it, will not. You know, this realm that we live in is temporary, and it's subject to change. That realm is eternal. Amen. Glory to God. And so, how mindful are you? Today, we're going to diagnose just how real it is to you. We're going to determine how mindful you are of that purpose and the fact that eternity is always growing nearer and nearer, right? The return of Jesus is imminent. You know, and if we have 100 years on this earth, that is such a small bit of time compared to all of eternity. Yet, no matter how small this life is, it still impacts eternity forever. And so this time is extremely important. Amen. And we need to spend this life living it in faith. Glory to God. Last week, we started talking about the faith of God. We started looking at the God kind of faith. And, you know, when people are facing, you know, situations, if you're just going to live life on this planet, you better know how to exercise faith. Yes. All right. And we took a look over there. We're going to, just for the sake of review, we're going to go back over to Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. Amen. And we're going to start talking about faith. And we're not just going to give you a recipe of faith. You know what I mean? We're going to talk about what makes faith real. Amen. How you develop that real kind of faith, that mountain-moving faith, the God kind of faith. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what, when you start walking in the faith of God, you know, what is faith? It's the result of knowing how real God is. Why are some Christians more faithful than other Christians? Because God is more real to the faithful ones than he is to the unfaithful ones. Why do certain Christians go on to do amazing things for God and many Christians just sit on the sideline and do nothing? Because the ones that are moved are the ones that know God is real. They're moved by how God is real. Amen. And God is very real to them and it moves their feet. Glory to God. Mark chapter 11 and verse 22, just for means of review, Jesus here is teaching us how to operate in the God kind of faith. And in verse 22, you know Jesus has already spoken to the fig tree, and he commanded that thing to be dried up. And remember what happened? It dried up from the roots. That tree was not feeding him. Remember, Jesus was hungry. He wanted to eat, and lack had reared its head in Jesus' life. He spoke to the tree. Remember, he answered the tree. You know, I tell you what, you better answer lack. You better answer this life, because life is going to happen. Life, the things on this planet are going to try to get in your face, are going to try to eat your lunch, and you better have an answer. Oh, come on. What is your answer going to be if lack tries to show up in your life? If lack tries to take your job, or if lack tries to diminish your income, or if sickness or disease would try to attack, or fear and anxiety and depression, what is going to be your answer? Come on, Jesus turned, the Bible says over there in Mark 11, he says he turned to the tree and he answered it. He spoke to the tree. Yeah, amen. He wasn't speaking to his disciples, but it wasn't just that he said something, he answered it. He gave an answer. Come on. What's going to be your answer if something tries to get on your children? What's going to be your answer if he tries to drive your marriage into the ground? What's going to be your answer? Come on, that's what faith is. God is so real to us that we have an answer. Oh, come on now. God better be more real to you than the circumstances. All right, Jesus says in Mark 11, 22, Jesus answered, because remember, Jesus is answering Peter because Peter was so surprised how the fig tree was dried up. Jesus wasn't surprised. And in the response to Peter, Jesus says to them, to all the disciples, he says, have faith in God. And Jesus is saying, you know what dried up that fig tree? Was faith. And it wasn't just any kind of faith. It was the God kind of faith. You have a little study note there in verse 22 next to the words where Jesus said, have faith in God. Look over into your margin or down there at the bottom in your Bible, and it will give you the original language of what Jesus said. And Jesus, I have it right here in my Bible, because you know that the New Testament was originally written in Greek. All right, and when they translated it into English, you know, sometimes English doesn't say it as well as Greek does, the Greek does. And so what Jesus said there, you can read it in your Bible, have the faith of God. That's a difference, all right? He didn't just say have faith in God. He said have the faith of God. Or you can say it this way, have the God kind of faith. And it surprises Christians to learn that God himself has faith. God himself uses faith. And you're going to see that in the next verse. In verse 23, Jesus describes how the God kind of faith works. He says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, do we have any whosoevers here? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's our next t-shirt, our Christian t-shirt. Yeah, on the back it's going to say, I'm a whosoever. That whosoever, oh, copyrighted right now, by the way. Right now, copyrighted. You take that idea, we're coming after you. We'll pay off the church. Glory to God. That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Now, this is what you're saying. This isn't what God's saying. He says, whosoever shall say to this mountain, speak to that mountain, get out of my way. Be thou removed. Mountain, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart, but believe that those things which they say shall come to pass, they shall have whatsoever they say. Isn't that what Jesus did to the tree? Jesus spoke to it, and he believed his own words. In the same way, that's the God kind of faith in your life. All right? And we talked about this last week. A lot of Christians, they talk about the mountain instead of talking to the mountain. They complain about the mountain instead of speaking to the mountain. All right? And we said this, you know, a lot of people are telling God how big their problems are. You know, you're supposed to tell your problems how big your God is. You know, I'll tell you what, the mountain better not be the biggest thing in the room. Exactly. Your faith better be the biggest thing in the room. Glory to God. You know, and so Jesus said, you know, if you want to see things move, guess what? You're going to have to speak to it. And we talked about the importance of your words. And we talked about the spirit of faith and how your words are the vital signs of your faith. You know, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 18:21, right? Amen. And so we went through all this last week, and this is just a little bit of review. We're talking about the God kind of faith. So many Christians are saying, God, move the mountain. God's saying, I told you to.
That's exactly right.
Jesus, deal with the devil for me. Jesus is saying, I already did. I whipped him 2,000 years ago, and now I've given you the measure of faith. Amen. You speak to that mountain. You use your words. Because like God, God made us to have creative ability in our mouth. Remember over there in Genesis chapter 1, how many times does it say, God said, God said, God said? It didn't say God did, God did, God did. It says he said, he said, he said 10 times. Amen. Everything, and we're going to see the verse here today, everything that you see on this earth is a result of the spoken word of God. You know, that chair, no, of course, now this chair was obviously made, these chairs were made in a factory somewhere, but the elements that was used, you know, everything came from this earth. You know, maybe the composition was changed, maybe chemicals were made by adding certain ingredients and heating up things and taking, you know, iron and steel, aluminum or whatever it is, you know, wood and whatever's on the internal components, but it all came from this earth. And everything that came from the earth was spoken into existence. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. People say, Pastor, do you believe in the Big Bang Theory? Yeah, I sure do. God said it and bang, it happened. That's exactly right. Amen. You know, and that's, you know, they look back on that and what are they seeing? They're just seeing the results of God's explosive power. And, you know, when he spoke, things happened. Amen. Glory to God. All right. But how many of you know faith is much more than just what we get from God? It's the force that moves his plan into place on this earth. It's not just how we get our stuff, but it's more about how we get God's stuff, how we move things into place for him. Amen. Our lives are to be a very strategic piece of the puzzle for God's plan. Faith needs to be exercised on this earth so God can arrange it as he has planned. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Go with me now to Hebrews chapter 11, and let's start looking at what faith is and how important it is. Amen. And we're going to put it into context, and we're going to see how real is God to you. Glory to God. And we're going to do a little diagnosis here. Praise the Lord. We're going to give each and every one of you a microphone this morning. No, I'm not. No, we're not. Just kidding. I got to say those things to wake you up. Keep you with me. Amen. Hebrews 11:1. We're going to read down through, eventually through the first half a dozen verses or so, maybe get down there through verse 7, where it starts talking about Noah and things. But instead of reading the passage all at once, we're going to just go verse by verse to start. Let's start in Hebrews 11:1, and let's see what faith is, all right? Faith is, says, now faith is. I like that. Because we understand that obviously the author of Hebrews is trying to make a point. But at the same time, I like that it doesn't say now faith was. Faith is not past tense, it is present tense. Amen. Faith always says, I have it now. Now faith is. You know, it doesn't say when faith was. It says now faith is. You know, and remember over there, we went to Mark 11:23 and we didn't read verse 24. It says, but when you pray, whatsoever things you desire, believe that you have received them, and then you shall have them. Faith is not believing what you're gonna get. Faith is believing what you have now. If you don't have it now, you're never gonna get it. If you in your mind are still waiting to get it, then you're never gonna get it. Because faith is always, I have it now. How many of you have your salvation right now? Yeah, see how convinced you are? See how easy that was? But you haven't been to heaven yet, have you? No, you haven't seen, you know, Jesus on the throne. You have not seen the Father on the throne. You haven't been there, but yet you are just so convinced. You were so convinced. Your hand went up in the air so quick. I got my salvation now. Why do you have it now? Because you believed what God said. You acted on it. You received it. Faith is now. I'm just as saved now as I'm going to be when I get to heaven. Are you just as saved now as you're going to get to be heaven? But let me ask you a question. Are you just as healed now as you are when you get to heaven? Yeah, because the Bible says you are the healed of the Lord. So, well, Pastor, I don't feel healed today. Well, do you feel saved every day? Do most Christians act saved every day? Not always. You know, what if you don't feel saved? Does that lose your, do you lose your salvation? No. Why would healing be any different? Healing was purchased at the cross just as much as salvation was. Right? Say, well, Pastor, I need a verse for that. Okay, well, I'll give you several. How about 1 Peter 2:24? Jesus, who in his own body bare our sins, you know, for us on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. All right. Of course, Jesus purchased for us the freedom of sin, but he also purchased for us the freedom of sickness and disease. You know, and it was his same body that was broken that purchased your salvation and your healing. Jesus said, remember to the men that were lowering down, the man that was born by four? Remember, he was lowered through the roof because they couldn't get to Jesus. And Jesus said, rise up, take up. You know, he said, your sins be forgiven you. Remember, and the Pharisees got upset. They said, who is this that can forgive sins? And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, turned and said to them, what's easier to say? What's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or rise up and take up your bed and walk? Jesus was saying, he's like, what's easier for me to say? You're saved or you're healed? You know why? Because the same price was paid for both. Glory to God. You can say, Christians, how many of you are saved now? Woo, woo, woo. And everyone's hands go up. But you say to the same group of Christians, how many of you are healed now? Yeah, all of a sudden, yeah. I don't know. See, because you're convinced now about your salvation, but you're not as convinced. Why? Because salvation is more real to you than the promise of healing. See, you can instantly, your hand goes up for salvation because it's that real to you. Why? Because you've heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it. It's become so real to you, that promise. You know, all the promises will work that way. If you hear the promise of God's healing, if you hear over and over, you're healed, you're healed, you're healed, you're healed, all of a sudden, the day will come when it becomes so real to you that you say, I'm healed now. I'm just as saved now as I will be in heaven. I'm just as healed now as I am in heaven. Amen. See. Christians, they get the wrong mindset. They think that the family here on earth is different from the family there in heaven. It's the same family. The same promise is given to heaven and to earth. You have to understand. Yes, on this earth, your body is going to get old. It is. it's going to, you know, your body's going to, you know, decay. And after you've lived a nice long life, you know, if Jesus tarries, you know, you're going to go to heaven and you're going to get a better body. Glory to God. I'm personally excited about that, you know. Someday, you know, after a nice long life and things, we're not saying that your body does not, you know, your body does on this earth grow older. But I'm just saying in God's mind and in God's promises, you are just as healed now as you ever will be. You are just as saved now as you ever will be. In God's mind, it is a complete work. Glory to God. Christians don't get that. They think, well, when I get to heaven someday. No, the promise. How many of you believe God's word is the same on earth as it is in heaven? Jesus told us how to pray. Pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because that's what God wants to do here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, glory to God. Now faith is, and that's what we got talking about. You believe you have it now. Faith is always present tense. Remember when we said this? Faith isn't going to God and telling him what you don't have. Faith is going to God and telling him what you do have. Big difference. Christians, I don't have this. I don't have a job. I don't have a car. I don't have a house. I don't have a spouse. Hey, that rhymed. I don't have my healing. I don't have my joy. I don't have any peace. And they talk to God in terms of what they don't have. But faith is always talking to God what you do have. Amen. Isn't that how you got saved? Yes. I do have a Lord and Savior. His name is Jesus, and I receive him as such. Yes. Amen. Faith is not about what you don't have. Faith is going to God that you do have it. Yes. Well, this is coming out way different today. Way different. Praise the Lord. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're going to break this down into these phrases here. Notice it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Oh my goodness. That is such good news. That is such good news. And you've heard me say this before, what hope starts, faith finishes. Or you could say it this way, what hope thinks about, faith materializes.
Yeah, I like that. Very good.
Amen. Notice if you can hope it, you can have it.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on now. The word substance there, it means material, physical substance.
Yeah,
faith materializes what is in the unseen realm. Faith reaches into the realm of God and brings out that which you cannot see. God wants to manifest his goodness on this earth. All right? He wants to bring his blessings from there into here. But faith is the channel by which it materializes on this earth. You could say it this way. You are the material makers on this earth. If God's things are going to move from his realm to your realm, faith is necessary. Faith is the substance, the material, physical substance of what started in your heart as a result of hope. How many of you believe hope is a good thing? You know, do you know what hope is? Hope means that things can be different. That things don't have to stay like that. They can change for the better. Isn't that what hope is? You know, listen, if you're part of this church, you've been coming here, listen, I have hope for you. You know, no matter what you're facing, there's always hope for you. You know, what does that mean? That there can be something better. There can be something better. But how many of you know that hope alone will never materialize anything? You can hope for somebody all you want and nothing will ever happen. Hope begins the process. Faith finishes the process. Hope is an intangible idea in your heart.
Yes, right. Amen.
And it begins, of course, that those ideas and those that hope begins by seeing the Word of God. You know, you see what God said and you say, you know what? This can be different. I don't have to live busted and disgusted. I don't have to be beat up in life. I don't have to be defeated and, you know, put down and, you know, the devil doesn't have to run over my life. Amen. I can live in victory. I can have all my needs met. Glory to God. I can walk in the plan of God. Well, that's where the hope starts. But guess what hope needs? Hope needs to materialize through the spoken word of faith. Those words start on the inside, and you start speaking them into the earth through your words of faith. You're going to see in verse 3, that's exactly what God did. No, you aren't going to create any more planets. You know, but I'm talking, God will give us these principles for us to live just like he lives. Amen. Faith is the substance, the material substance of what you hope for. Glory to God. Amen. Faith finishes what hope started and brings something into reality. It turns something intangible into material substance. Faith will reach into the realm of God and pull things into this realm. It makes the unseen seen. Don't you want to see the blessings of God? Don't you want to walk and experience them? Well, faith, your words are necessary. Those faith-filled words are necessary to turn God's blessings into material substance into this realm. Amen. Glory to God. Imagine if all of us were using our words for the sake of the church. Not just, of course, beginning with your local church, but not exclusively for your local church. In Jesus' name, my church has all the resources it needs to fulfill the vision of God. Where did this church come from? Where did the Erie church come from? Where did the Mayville churches and these churches that are being planted all over, where did they come from? God put a vision in leadership's heart, and we all together started speaking that vision. Amen. And what happened? In material substance, all of a sudden, buildings started to come. People started to get saved and helped. Imagine if the body of Christ on this earth started releasing our faith for the kingdom of God. What are we doing every Sunday morning? We say, all Chautauqua County shall be saved. What are we doing? We're releasing that faith, right? That starts with our hope. But hope is then executed, you know, through faith out of those words in your mouth. What are we doing? You know, there are souls that might be getting saved in some other church here today because we just keep saying that. They don't have to be saved in this church. There could be somebody, you know, in this county today, many somebodies that are going to come to Jesus this morning, and you know, and their lives will be eternally changed because there was faith in the earth. God told us over there in Psalms 2:8, what did he say? Ask of me for the heathen for your inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Yeah, glory to God. Father, we thank you. We'll take every heathen in this county. We claim every single one that doesn't know God for the kingdom of God. Glory to God. What does that do? It speaks. And when that person gets saved, what is that? Material substance is just out of the earth. When that church is built and opens its doors, material substance came into being. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When you're facing a need and you're confessing it, shows up. Why? Material substance just entered the earth. Glory to God. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Amen. Glory to God. It makes the unseen seen. And faith is the evidence that the eternal realm is real. Yes. Come on. Why? Because when things are coming out of that realm into this one through faith, it obviously proves just how real that realm is. Yes. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right, look at the rest of the verse. Notice it says that faith is the evidence of things not seen. Glory to God. Just because something is unseen doesn't mean you can't see the effects of it. All right. Take, for example, a flag blowing in the wind, right? Have you ever seen a flag blowing in the wind? Maybe you have a flag, an American flag or something, you know, on your property or whatever. How many of you know you have never seen the wind itself? Wind is not something you can see. Oh, no, Pastor, I've seen the wind lots of times. I see the leaves blowing in the wind. You know, I see the flag blowing in the wind. I see the wind all the time. No, you are seeing the effects of the wind, but you are not seeing the wind itself, all right? You are seeing the effects of an unseen power source.
There you go. Very good.
Isn't that right? Amen. That flag has no power on its own. But when that unseen force blows on it, right, it now has power, right? And you can see the effects of that unseen power source. Folks, that is us. We are that flag. And God's spirit, God's faith, is that evidence that His realm is moving upon us and real upon us. Amen. You know, how is your faith flag doing today? Is it, you know, blowing straight out, you know, in the wind, moving vigorously, and God, everyone can see the effects of God moving on your life? Or is it just laying limp on the side of the flagpole, just sitting there, not a breath of air to be found anywhere? That's how most Christians' flag looks. Oh, come on. Why? Because when you're speaking those words of faith and you're moving in the faith of God, that material substance from His realm starts materializing in your life. People will see the difference. They'll see something like, oh my goodness, they're just always moving in the direction of God. Why? Because God is real to them. They always just want to be in church because God's real to them. You know, they're always speaking their faith into this earth because God is real to them. Faith is real to them. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Just like that flag, we see the visible effects of an unseen power. Yeah, the Spirit of God, the nature of God, the force of faith is moving us. And our movement is the evidence of that power. Let me say, your life, your movement, your actions are the evidence of how real God is to you. You know, why do people just do frivolous things instead of being in church? You know, people, I'm just going to, you know, go on a boat ride today instead of going to church. You know why? Because God isn't real to them. Not as much. You know, but what is it with a person? Say, man, when God's house is open, I'm there. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to pray for my church. I'm going to serve in my church. I'm going to praise and worship. I'm going to give God my all today. You know why people do that? Because God is real to them. Faith is the evidence of how real you believe God's realm is. You know why Christians can hear the tithing message over and over and never tithe? Because God's not real enough for them. God's just not real enough for them. And why they stand on the sidelines and they watch God bless these other Christians, because they got in the game and God was real to them. Ooh, praise the Lord. Faith is the evidence. Your faith is the evidence of the unseen realm moving on your life. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. This is what faith is, and it does. It's the evidence of how real God and His realm is to you. We are the ones moving His unseen power into this realm where it can be seen. God wants it to be seen. Yeah. God's faith in you is turning the unseen reality into a seen reality. Glory to God. Now look at verse 2. We're in Hebrews 11:1, and now we're going to look at verse 2. Verse 1 says, faith is the substance, the material substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. And 2 says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. So often we just skip over verse 2 and we go right to verse 3. But we need to understand what it's talking about. Now, if you read Hebrews chapter 11, it's about the patriarchs and matriarchs of the faith. It is the Faith Hall of Fame, starting with Abel and Enoch, right? And going to, Abraham and or Noah, and then Abraham, and then it talks about Sarah and Jacob and Joseph and Moses. It talks about these Hall of Fame patriarchs of faith. Amen. And it tells us now, this is who it's talking about, that those people are listed in Hebrews 11 because they received a good report, meaning God took notice of these people because they were constantly moving God's plan into this realm. Okay, very good. Yeah. Come on now. Yes. They were constantly speaking God's plan into this earth. Right. Yeah, they were constantly willing to do whatever it takes for God's will to be done. They were the ones that you could see the unseen power move in their life. And it just constantly, it dominated their life. It was, you know, the evidence of the unseen realm. Glory to God. Yep. This is where the good report comes from. This is what makes people stand out in God's eyes. they act just like God is real. That's what Abraham did. He was so willing to do whatever it took because God was real to him.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. You know, praise the Lord. And this is why people, you know, when God is real to you, you act like everything in this book is absolutely going to happen. When God is real to you, you move because you know that eternity is coming. Faith is, it begins with what you say, but it will be accomplished in what you do. You know, you can have all the faith in the world coming out of your mouth, but you don't. If you don't have corresponding action, the Bible says faith without deeds is dead. You know, you can release your faith all you want, but if you're disobeying God's word, you know, then it obviously won't work for you. All right? But this is where the good report comes from. They act like everything that's prophesied in the Bible is actually going to happen. What if we believed Jesus was really coming soon? What would it do to your life? What if, you know, what if, of course, the Bible prohibits this, and I'm using this just as an illustration. Jesus doesn't know the day or the hour upon his return. But what if we had revelation and the Spirit of God said, you know what, we're just going to let the cat out of the bag here. Jesus is coming in 10 days. I would bet you anything that would change the actions of a lot of Christians. But you are supposed to live like Jesus is coming back in 10 minutes. Come on. Praise the Lord. Well, I just don't do that. Well, yeah, because God isn't real enough to you. Well, I don't do that. I know the word says it, but I don't do it because God's not real enough to you. Well, I do that. I don't serve in a church. Well, they serve, but I don't serve. Well, God is more real to them than he is to you. Woo, praise the Lord. Amen. What's the evidence that you believe that the eternal realm is real? Yeah. See, they act like it's going to happen. See, people that have this kind of faith, you know, they believe by his stripes I am healed is more real than the symptoms. Yeah, the symptoms can be real, but guess what is more real? God's word. You know, they believe that my God shall supply all my needs by his riches and glory is more real than the financial trouble. Glory to God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. That scripture is more real to those people than the thoughts of suicide, the thoughts of depression, and the thoughts of fear. See, faith is when you believe God is real. Yeah, amen. And you can get to a point where you get so filled with God's word that his promise is way more real than the circumstance of this life. See, the problem with Christians is that they would look and they would say, yeah, this pulpit is real. You know, because it's something that they can physically see and they can touch that pulpit and they can, you know, sense the hardness of it and its, you know, material and things like that. But yet to them, that something like that is more real to them than a promise of God. And that's the problem. That's the problem. That's where faith breaks down in Christians' life. You know, they get into a financial crisis. See, money is more real to them than God. You know the reason why? Is because they handle money more than they handle the things of God. Come on now. Oh, we'll talk about that. Stuff like that. People get, someone, when they've spent time with the Word and they've spent time with God and they have a revelation of how real he is. Listen, that's why they don't panic when layoffs come to the company. That's why they don't panic when gas prices go up 50 cents. You know how many Christians have told me the last week, oh my goodness, what's gas prices at? Have you seen gas prices? The hurricanes are jumping the gas prices. You know, of course, nobody likes gas prices going up. But God is bigger than a 50 cent increase to your gas price. Oh, I don't know. I just can't do anything now. I can't drive here. Can't do this and can't do that. Since when did the gas pump tell you what you can and can't do? Why are the price tags in life? You know why? You know why? Because Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, because money's their master. See why? Because that money and that price tag is more real to them than God. Anyhow, Don't want to jump on that bandwagon too much. Glory to God. For by it, this is how the elders received a good report. Amen. Glory to God. Yep. How does this happen? How do you get to the point where faith just comes out of you because God is so real to you? Well, we talked about this Wednesday night, all right? And for the sake of time, I'm just going to quote these verses, and you can write them down. Of course, we looked at Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. All right, hearing and hearing doesn't just mean, okay, you know, it entered into my ear, and I just sit there, and I've listened to several sermons or whatever. Hearing and hearing is a lifestyle of faith. When you get so surrounded by God's word and God's word fills your heart, faith will just jump out of you. Faith will just jump out of you. The second thing, you know, is a verse I quoted at the beginning of the service, Mark 4:24, when Jesus said, "Take heed to what you hear, for what measure you meet will be measured back to you." All right? How you hear, what you're doing as you sit there and listen to the word of God, how attentive you are. Listen, I've seen people, you know, if Christians acted in church like they do in the job interview, when they sit in the job interview, oh, they bring their best. They are there early. They are waiting when their name is called. They go in. They're very attentive. What if you fell asleep during your job interview? What if you sat there and count the rafters during your job interview? What if you were so unattentive? What if you, you know, acted at your job interview how so many Christians act in church? They'd never work again. Who's going to want that? But people have more honor for their boss and for their employer and just a potential job prospect than they do the house of God. You know why? Because God's not real to them. When God's real to you, you are in church on time. You know, so many people, they miss the first song, Blessing. They will be on time for the haircut. They will be on time for the dentist. They'll be on time. But when it comes to church, they'll mosey in 10 minutes late. Oh, you know, it's at 10:30 in the morning, folks. It's not like it's a sunrise service. But on Monday morning, they got to be at work 8, 9 o'clock. They're there early. Why? God's not real to them. That's the problem. See, act like God is real to you. Live like God is real to you. And guess what will happen? He'll become more real to you. The Bible tells us over there in the book of James, take a step. God says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Live like he's real to you. Be in church with honor like he's real to you. Give like he's real to you. Serve like he's real to you. Praise like he's real to you. You know, I just stand there and I just listen to the songs. Well, maybe you need to be taught the word. And, you know, I understand. Listen, I was in that same boat where I needed to be taught praise and worship. But if you sat there for year after year and you've heard it and heard it and you still will not praise and worship God, somewhere along the line, he's not real to you. Come on now. Faith is the result of your words and your actions, just knowing God's real to me. God's real. You know why there's people showing up for Wednesday afternoon prayer? God's real to them. You know why there's people that volunteer, you know, and they serve and they help and they keep care of this property and all that stuff? Why? God's real to them. And there's people that give sacrificially? Why? God's real to them. Oh, come on now. Through it, this is how by it, the elders obtained a good report. They just acted in life that God was real.
That's right, yes.
Verse 3. Oh, praise the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm loving the word. I didn't say I'm loving my preaching. I said I'm loving God's word. Big difference. Hebrews 11:3. Now it says, through faith we understand that the worlds, plural, were framed by the word of God. How many of you know this isn't the only planet that was ever created? All right, obviously there's millions of them. And no, I'm not talking about alien civilizations. We are unique in this existence, God's word says. All right, you can look out there and see all that, but that's never a sermon for another day because I'm not going to preach on that. But when God says that he framed the worlds by the word of God, it's talking about the cosmos, the universe, the earth, the moon, you know, the sun, the stars, the solar systems, and so on. It says, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. Yes. And that literally in the Greek means the spoken word of God. Yes. And you can go to Genesis 1 and see that it was the spoken word of God. Everything that was created by a spoken word. Right. Yes. You've heard me say this before. Everything in this realm was made by spoken words. Therefore, it responds by spoken words. That's why the mountain will move for you. Because the mountain was made by words. It's made to move by words. Amen. That's why the tree dried up with Jesus' words. Because it was made by words. Right? That's what the rest of the verse says. So that things which are seen in this realm, they were not made of things which do appear. Meaning, whatever we see in this life came from the unseen realm, and they entered this realm through the spoken word of God. That's why we say faith brings material substance to intangible ideas or hopes. Things that are unseen can be moved into this realm through faith. But notice what God's faith did. Notice, remember when we talked about God having faith? Here's God's faith. What did it do? It framed the worlds. God's words framed the worlds. Can your words frame your world? Yes. Absolutely. Actually, that's how God designed it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Your life will be nothing more than the results of how you talk. Oh, that's right. But notice what faith-filled words they do. They frame. You know, how many of you know the frame is a very vital part to any, you know, building or structure? Now, of course, we're not looking at the frame here today. The frame is that part of the construction that is behind the walls, all right? You know, the frame is the main beams. I guess you could say in some way that these massive beams in here are part of the framing of the building. It's, of course, holding up the ceiling and everything like that so you can see part of it. But how many of you know the frame is, it's not pretty? You know, the frame is very functional. But how many of you know that everything else you see, whether it is, you know, the platform, the lights, all this stuff, they are hanging on the frame. Without the frame, there is nothing else. All right? How many of you know that, you know, this drywall isn't just leaning on itself? Well, you know, under that paint, you know, and under the masking and all that, there are screws in there holding those pieces of sheetrock to the frame. All right, why? Because a frame gives you something to hang other things on. All right, when your words come out of your mouth, that is what God has to hang his blessings on. So many Christians, if you speak the wrong things, God has nothing to hang his promises on. But when you speak words of faith, you are putting that frame up that God can hang his blessings on that frame. Glory to God. God's words frame the worlds. Your words will frame your world. Never forget it. Praise the Lord. All right? And so we see this. Glory to God. Everything put here was put here by words of faith. So everything can move by words of faith. Yep. Glory to God. God wants something to hang his blessings on. But if there's no words, Jesus said that over in, Matthew chapter 12, right around the 34th verse. He said, by your words you shall be justified. By your words you shall be condemned. For by every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Why? Words are essential. Because God's going to look at us and he's going to say, I couldn't hang my plan on your frame. There was no frame. Your words were wrong. You know? You didn't pursue the faith of God. You didn't speak the faith of God. I have nothing to hang my blessings on. You do not want, God's going to, listen, when we get there and stand at the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to show you the blueprint. He's going to say, I spoke to you and told you to do this. I told you to do that. I told you to serve here. I told you to give here. I told you to talk to this person here. I told you to go to this church here. I told you to do this. I told you to work here. I told you to live here. And you didn't do those things. And now he's going to show us what was lost because we did not follow his plan. Listen, it is our job to hear the voice of God. for our lives personally. And when we hear it, we speak that word into this earth. Glory to God. Listen, I had my own plan. Many of you have been around long enough, you've heard the testimony. When I was in my 20s, I was trained as a sailor, literally. Not for the U.S. government, not in the Navy, but just recreationally. I was licensed to captain a boat up to 51 feet. And I just, in my mind, I'm getting trained, and I'm sailing across the ocean by myself. I had met my wife then. I said, you're welcome to come with me, but if you don't, see you later. I was very selfish. Some of you didn't think that was very funny. That was 18 years ago. Have mercy, you know. And this is before Jesus, okay. And I got very selfish. That was my plan. And as soon as I got born again and just started seeking God with all my heart, God, what do you want me to do? One of the first things that he took out of my life, because it wasn't the plan, not that God was trying to take anything good from me, he said, that's not going to fit. And I remember I stood in front of my sailboat, and God showed me, he spoke to me in the audible voice and said, you're going to have to let that go. And I just sat there, and I'm going to confess right now, I cried. My face and my cheeks got red with grief, and I cried, and tears streamed down my face. You know what I mean? Because I did not want to let that go. But that wasn't where the blessing was. There was a different plan. But so many Christians, they never find out the plan of God for their life. You know, and once God spoke to me, July 31st, 2003, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said that I'd have a pulpit ministry. And so once I knew that, I acted like it was real. You know, I didn't say it publicly, but privately to God. Then I just started saying, well, then I'll preach. Then I'll preach. Then I'll preach. I didn't say that to anybody else. If God's told you something, listen, you be like Mary, the mother of Jesus. She pondered those things in her heart. She didn't just start go broadcasting. You know, remember who the broadcaster was? Joseph. And it led him into about 13 years of just pure crisis because he had a loose mouth. When God tells you you're going to do something, you just keep it to yourself. You ponder it in your heart, but you can speak to God and say, then I'll, you know, whatever he told you. What was I doing? I was speaking those words into the earth. Glory to God. Just kept before God, whatever you want me to do. Praise the Lord. Why? Because God was real to me. God was real to me. Amen. Glory to God. All right. And so you're going to frame your world. God needs something to hang his promises and his plan on. But now this is what we're going to end with. Go down to verse 4. Verse 4 is when now the author of Hebrews starts to give us the examples of these patriarchs of faith. These great people that changed the earth with their faith. By faith, Abel. Here we're going all the way back to the book of Genesis chapter 4. Offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, his brother. By which Abel obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, Abel being dead, yet speaks. Abel's giving is still speaking in the earth. Yes. Abel's testimony is still changing lives, and that was 4,000 years ago. The man is not here anymore, but his faith is. Faith will live far longer than you ever will on this earth. Come on now. Glory to God. Amen. Why did, you know, remember Cain? Cain was the bad brother there. And they came and they both offered something to God. And God had respect for Abel's giving, but not Cain. You know why? Because Cain gave what was easy. Cain gave God the leftovers. Abel gave God what was first. Cain gave fruit that he picked and he grew out of the ground. What do you know when you pick fruit off a tree? It's going to grow back. It's going to grow back, right? So there was no sacrifice in what Cain gave. He gave which was easy. He gave that which was convenient. But Abel gave the first of his flocks. How many of you know when you sacrifice a lamb or a sheep, right? How many of you know that thing's not coming back? He sacrificed it to his own uses. He absolutely did. He came. And the Bible says that Abel gave his first. Glory to God. Amen. And God said, you know what? I accept Abel's offering, Cain's offering. No, I'm not going to accept it. You know why? Why did Abel give his best to God? Because God was real to him. God was real to him. And notice, God was real to Abel, and it was distinguished. It was in his giving. Glory to God. Amen. By faith, Abel offered. You know, you can just, you know, put anything in there for God. Doesn't mean God accepts it. You know what I mean? So to speak, it doesn't mean it honors God. Amen. How real is God to you? Well, I don't like to give because God's not real enough to you. Oh, praise the Lord. See, now we see the difference in the great people of faith. God was real to them. God's faith was moving in Abel, and you could see the effect on his life. You could see Abel's flag blowing. You know what I mean? You know how? In his giving. Glory to God. God was more real to Abel than he was to Cain. Cain gave what was easy. Cain gave something that would grow back. Abel gave a sacrifice. To most Christians, money is more real than God is. Like I said, because they handle money more than they do the things of God. Oh, come on. I know I'm preaching a convicting message here. But you'll see on someone's life, how real is God to you? They move with an urgency. The things of God are always priority. God is always going to be first in their home, first in their lives. Amen. Glory to God. Go to verse 5, and we're just wrapping this up. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Wow. And it was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation, Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. You know, in the Bible, we're only given like 3 or 4 verses about Enoch. You know, Genesis chapter 5, right around verse 24, tells us why Enoch pleased God, because it says he walked with God. He just spent time with God. He just kept spending time with God, time with God, time with God. His prayer life, his fellowship with God was motivated by the fact God was real to Enoch. So real to Enoch that Enoch didn't even die. He just stepped over. God said, wow, you have such faith. I'm so real to you. God's realm was more real to Enoch than the natural realm. And God just said, just step on over. Not saying that's going to happen to you. All right. Not saying that. But Enoch is obviously a great extreme testimony. What motivated Enoch's time with God? God was real to him. God was real to him. He lived like God was real. Praise the Lord. And of course, go down to verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. That word fear means reverence. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. All right? God told Noah, go into the desert where it has never rained, and build a 400-foot ship. And it's going to take you 100 years to build it. And while you do it, everyone will mock you and make fun of you and have the wrong opinion of you. And Noah said, I'll do it. Why? God was real. He moved like the flood was coming. And everyone looked at him. It hasn't even rained here before, Noah. Why are you building a boat on desert sand? You know, because when God is real to you, the opinions of man are not. Never forget it. When God is real to you, there's no assignment that you're unwilling to do. Faith is always willing. Oh, come on. Faith will pick up any assignment, no matter how ridiculous it looks or feels. No matter, you know, the criticisms that you're going to get. You know, there's people that have criticized me. You know, you're always in church. You always do this. You always do that. Yeah, God's real to me. You know, why do you do this? Why do you give that? Why do you do that? God's real. God's real. I'm living like the flood is coming. Right? Yeah, if Noah built a ship, you know, on desert sand, took him 100 years to do so just because the rain was going to come. How much more? What should we be doing knowing that Jesus is coming? And about Jesus himself said, just as in the days of Noah, people will be, you know, be given in marriage. They'll be eating and drinking, meaning they'll be going around with their daily life. You know, just thinking in the whole time they have become ignorant that the rain is coming. Except the rain, it's not the R-A-I-N, it's the R-E-I-G-N is coming. You know, live like it's real. Live like it's real. Pray like God is real. Give like God is real. Serve like God is real. Praise like God is real. Release your faith like God is real. And of course, you understand when I say like God is real, it's because He is real. He's more real than we are in that sense. His realm created this realm. This realm did not create God. That realm created this one. Amen. Did you get some help out of this? Faith. Faith. Everything you're doing, your faith that's not just said, but it's also displayed. Why are you doing the things you're doing? Either because God is real or this world is more real to you. Why is a Christian faithful? Because God's real to them. Why is a Christian unfaithful? Because God isn't as real to them. Where are you? Where are you? How real is God to you? That's why you say, you know, we don't just use faith because, okay, pastor said the recipe of faith, step one, step two, step three. No, you're not a robot. We're not trying to program robots. When God is real to you, faith is automatic. When you get so filled with His word, faith will just come out of you. Why? Because you know Him. Amen. You know, do you have anybody in your life that you trust? I do. They're sitting right here. You know, my wife being number one, and many of you, there's several people, you know, sitting here right now that I would trust my life with, I would trust the lives of my children with, and so on. You know, when you trust somebody, you know, you give them responsibility. You know it'll happen. When they tell you something's going to happen, when they tell you they're going to do something, you trust them. All right? And so, you know, you put that responsibility in their hands the same way. How much more God? Do you trust Him? Well, you know, I just can't be a tither because you don't trust Him. Well, I don't know. I take it or leave it because you don't trust Him. And when it don't happen for you, don't blame me. Oh, I went to that church down there. They preached faith and nothing happened to me. Well, if you got 1 foot in the church and 1 foot in the world, ain't going to happen for you. Well, they were preaching this and that, and, you know, I'm mad at the pastor because I went through this tough time in life. Listen, no one ever said that tough times aren't going to come, you know. But you can tell, tough times just prove how real is God to you. Someone that goes through the fire and they come out on the other side with more faith because God was real to them. But the person that all of a sudden they go through one little trial, oh, that faith stuff doesn't work because God wasn't real to them. Amen. Did you get something out of this? How real is God to you? That's why you say the things you say. Do you know why people get hooked on addictions? All right. Even Christians get hooked on drugs and alcohol because they don't have a revelation of how real God is. You know, when I was hooked on alcohol and got free of it in January of 2003, never went back. You know why? Because God became more real to me than the alcohol. God was better to me than the alcohol. Come on now. Praise the Lord. Oh, you know, people, you know why people destroy their marriages with pornography? Because God ain't real to them. Listen, when you have a revelation that God is with you every moment of your day, you're not just here playing the Christianese church game. You know what I mean? That you're the same person here as you are behind closed doors. You know why? Because God is real. Why does your character matter to you? Because God is real to you. Why will you inconvenience yourself and let yourself even lose money if it means being honest? Because God is real. Yep. Pray. God better be more real to you than the money. God better be more real to you than the circumstance, the trial. God better be more real to you than your job. God better be more real to you. His word is more real to you than the symptoms that attack your body, the thoughts that try to attack your mind. Amen. Glory to God. Say, well, pastor, how do I get there? How do I get there? Hearing and hearing. Hearing and hearing. Hearing and hearing. Fill yourself up on the word. Amen.